Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, help me walk with you. Help me live in a loving relationship with you. And help me live in loving relationships with those around me. I am unable to do this on my own. So grant me the will and strength to love as you love through your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119 is written in an acrostic form, and each verse in the stanza begins with the same letter. The first section, all the verses begin with Aleph. The next section, all begin with Bet, then Gimel, and all the way down to the end of the Hebrew alphabet, Tau. 22 stanzas in Psalm 119, as there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, you don't see this in the English translation, but most Bibles give you the indication of the form in that each stanza stands apart with the Hebrew letter indicating the section to follow. Now, to really see the form, you need to go to the Hebrew. Have the Hebrew before you, and you will see how it forms that acrostic. The psalmist is entering into a great effort to write and compose in this form. And giving attention to where the psalmist begins makes sense. And then paying attention to the common thread through the psalm indicates what was in the writer's heart. The psalm begins with the blessings that is yours through obedience to God's laws. Psalm 119, verse 1, Aleph, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless and who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who walk according to the law of the Lord. The word walk here is speaking figuratively, and it means the manner of life. Blessed are those whose manner of life is in accordance to the law of the Lord. A high esteem for the law of God is in the heart of the psalmist, and it's something for us to consider too. Like the lines on the road, fences along paths, warning signs, all of those are there not to keep us from having fun. Lines, fences, paths, warnings, they're to keep you safe. Following them, not crossing them, heeding them all, really is for your benefit. And I've mentioned this before, but I just perfect illustration is Yellowstone National Park. There's warning signs all over the places. There's fences. There's pathways to stay upon. All of them to help you to enjoy your visit and keep you safe. People get hurt, seriously hurt, and sometimes they lose their lives when they disregard those things. Likewise, the Lord God in His amazing and infinite and unending and never forsaking love for you, the Lord laid down His law. He declared His decrees. He proclaimed His precepts for your benefit and for your blessing. God is not there to take away your joy. He's not that cosmic killjoy. He is a loving Father who gave you His only begotten Son to redeem you and open the way to eternal life for you. And so what He speaks in His will really is spoken from love and compassion. His ways are good. His precepts, righteous. His decrees, full of compassion. When you honestly look at the Ten Commandments, the righteousness and truth of them really does shine forth. The first portion of the commandments set forth that loving relationship we are to have with the living God. No other gods before Him, not misusing His name, remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy. Remember that time to be in His presence. And then the second portion, beginning with honor your father and mother, sets forth that loving relationship with those around us. Walking according to the Lord's commands is good. His precepts, righteous. There's holiness there. Yeah, we fail. We're not capable of the righteous, this kind of righteousness. So the Redeemer Jesus Christ came to make it possible for His righteousness to be ours. Because He took our sin onto the cross with Him. So His righteousness becomes ours when we call upon and believe Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 17 and 18, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." The law, it still applies. What the law teaches and admonishes still applies. Even though we live under grace, we live under the redeeming grace of Jesus Christ, the way the Lord established the world with what is right and good and proper and holy and righteous, they still apply. Just because we live under grace as redeemed children of God, we are not to take the love of God and the grace of God for granted and walk it through the pig pen of life. Would you, after be given the finest dress, or would you, after be given the most fancy tuxedo to wear, both to wear to an engagement with the king, purposely find the most vile and depraved puddle and pile of animal excrement to roll around in and make the smelliest mess possible and the stinkiest stain, and then dare to go and stand boldly before the king? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33. "So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the ways that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." We are to live out in our manner of life, walk in the ways of God. That is what Jesus is showing us here in Matthew 5. Jesus is taking us even farther out from not merely obeying them to seeing that the words of God have an impact in our hearts and upon our souls. Moving from the external constraint to transforming the inner being to become more holy. Could say that Jesus is describing a righteousness greater than the Pharisees. Remember the times Jesus said the Pharisees have the behavior right, but their hearts are far from Him? Speaking to the Pharisees and teachers of the law when they complained the disciples didn't wash their hands before eating. This is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and teachers of the law. "You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." What Jesus is trying to show us, to teach us, is unless your righteousness surpasses the Pharisees and teachers of the law, that's Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus is showing us a righteousness that surpasses the law, but it's a righteousness we can't reach. It's showing we need Christ. Here in Matthew chapter 5, there are six antitheses. Four of them in today's gospel, and we're going to touch the others later on. These are called antitheses because they begin with Jesus saying, "You have heard it said." And then he goes on to say, "But I tell you." The "you have heard it said" there in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21, 27, 31, and 34. "But I tell you" are in verses 22, 28, 32, and 34. The form this is taking is Jesus is expounding upon what has been said, what others have taught, and he's taking it farther down the road. "Do not murder," Jesus takes farther down, "to not even be angry. Do not disgrace a person, for you'll be in danger of the fire of hell." What is Jesus doing? He's taking us to a level of righteousness. To the hearers, they're saying, Jesus is saying to the hearers, the heart, what's in your heart matters. What are the feelings you have towards the other person? Where is the love? Where is the compassion? Where is the mercy? Where is the forgiveness? This anger, the attitude that's in the heart, will even impact your ability to give to the Lord. If there's a broken relationship, leave your gift at the altar and go however far you need to go. Even a journey of many miles and many days, go and be reconciled before giving your gift to the Lord. After you're reconciled, come back, then give your gift. Remove whatever may be in your heart that has any hint of anger, for it hinders your relationship with God. Do not commit adultery. Jesus has taken that farther. Do not even lust in your heart. Take out your eye. Cut off your hand. It's better to be blind and maimed than to have the whole body thrown in hell. James chapter 1, verse 15. "Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." Lust is that desire to covet after, meaning to seek forbidden things. In a way, every form of advertisement is aimed at creating a desire in you to get you to want what their product has to offer. And have you noticed the commercials mostly talk about the experience? They don't talk about the product or put the product forward. And what does that commercial really have to do with the product? Instead, the commercial is all about having an experience that you can only have with their product. Appealing to create in you an emotion, to build a desire for that experience. They're going after your heart. Jesus is again saying the heart. It matters what you feel in your heart, what you do in your heart, what you think in your heart, who you are in your heart. It matters. It's not what external appearances show, but what's in your heart. Divorce, again, Jesus takes it to the heart of the matter. The relationship, it matters, and is not to be easily dismissed with a certificate. A little on later in Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees come to Jesus to test him. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 6, the Pharisees come and they test Jesus. "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?" You see the attitude, can I divorce and just write it? For any reason? Jesus is going to the heart of the matter, and Jesus replied back to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 19. "Haven't you read," Jesus replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.'" And then Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount goes on to oaths. "Don't break them. That's what was said. But Jesus goes farther. Don't make oaths at all. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Appealing to the glorious majesty of God. Appealing to the divine dwelling of the holy and living God for earthly matters is beneath the glory and splendor of God. In other words, your heart is to be so simply full of integrity, an oath is not even needed. Yes will suffice. No will suffice. Here Jesus is showing us that it is more than how we act. Jesus is addressing who we are in our hearts, in our minds, in that inner workings of our self-conversations. Not merely obeying, but becoming holy in our being. Living in such a way, our walk of faith is distinctive and our relationship with others flows from a genuine love and real compassion, mercy and grace from the heart, making the kingdom of God real. Now, to make this teaching more meaningful to you, the "you have heard it said" can be applied to the ways of the world, because the way of the world is talking, live this way, do this thing. That's the way the world talks. You hear it in the news. You'll find it printed in textbooks and published in journals. It is global warming. It is alphabet being expanded into whatever different types of ways to express your identity. It's opinion being served as news. That's the "you have heard it said." You, child of God, discern and counter that with, "but I tell you," meaning from the Word of God, His holy Word. For example, God said, "In the beginning, God created them male and female." That's what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. "Haven't you read," Jesus replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female?" That's what God said. What is the world saying today? This used to be an ice age area. Man-made global warming? We weren't here when the ice melted from the ice age. Was it us? Discern. Learn. See through what the world is saying, using the Word of God to find what the Lord says unto us. And then put it all together and see that He's calling us to a way of life, a righteousness of life we really can't reach. And that's on purpose, because that drives us to His mercy and drives us to His grace. You want me there? I can't make it there. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I will bring you there. My righteousness will be yours, because your sin is mine. And I took it to the cross to redeem you from all that sin." So the forgiveness in Jesus' name is real. And the life you're called to is a life in Christ, by His strength, by His mercy, by His grace. Is it hard to not get angry with people in our hearts? Sometimes it's very hard not to get angry in our hearts. We're called to that. And so we say, "Lord Jesus Christ, help me here to learn to love as You love and have compassion as You have compassion." The Pharisees were going about and showing, "Look how I live according to the law." And Jesus said, "Your heart is far from me." Jesus wants our hearts to be transformed. That's what He's preaching about in this whole Sermon on the Mount. Transformed hearts, lives made holy by His redeeming sacrifice. Mercy, forgiveness, His righteousness to be ours. He's calling us to a life, to live like Him, the image of Christ. So I encourage you to read through the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. Sit down and read them all in one sitting. And then also sit down and read Psalm 119, all in one sitting. And see how clear the Word of God is really speaking about calling us to be His people, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, living in such a way that the world sees us different than the ways of the world. You can walk in the ways of the world, or you can walk with the Lord. And walking with the Lord, it's by His strength, His grace, His compassion and mercy in your life. You can't do it. You really can't do it on your own. You need Jesus. And isn't it wonderful how much the Father loves us that He gave the Son so that we could live with Him forever? Such grace, such mercy, such compassion, such love and forgiveness is yours in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Amen and amen.